From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Just a sliver of Iraq touches coastline on the Persian Gulf, and there at the northern tip of the Gulf lies the port of Umm Qasr. The port is vital to Iraq. It's where oil exports go out and food imports come in. U.S. and British forces in Umm Qasr are training a small navy to protect the port and its offshore oil platforms from attack. But as NPR's John McChesney reports, Iraq's naval forces are a long way from being able to do the job on their own.
Royal Navy Commander Jock Alexander, a Sean Connery kind of Scotsman, directs the naval training team here, about 70 strong. In his tiny office, he points to a map showing how Iraq, Iran, and Kuwait, only a few hundred yards away, converge near an inlet. He explains why the rusty, dusty port on the inlet is so important to Iraq.
It's about 90% of the bulk food for Iraq comes through the port. And by bulk food, I mean grain, wheat, sugar, salt.
But what goes out of the oil platforms just offshore may be even more important to Iraq's future.
About 3% of the world's daily oil supply is currently pumped from those two oil platforms, which equates to about 92% of this country's GNP per day, at $200 million US dollars a day, depending on the price of oil.
Alexander's force consists of British Navy, American Navy, and American Coast Guard, here to train Iraqi Navy and Marines to someday assume the defense of the port and the platforms. They have a lot of work to do. The U.S. Coast Guard teaches Iraqi Marines how to board and search vessels using a stack of steel shipping containers as an improvised vessel. Through an interpreter, an Iraqi officer shouts questions at the Coast Guard officer playing skipper of the fake boat.
Do you have any weapons on board or ammunition?
No weapons.
That's followed by questions about port of origin, crew makeup, and so on, punctuated with an occasional wisecrack.
Are any of your crew psychologically impaired, retarded?
That's debatable, but as far as I know, no.
Then 20 Iraqis storm aboard, and role-playing becomes more serious as crew members are searched and handcuffed when weapons are found.
Sit down.
Officers here say these Iraqi Marines are indispensable in boarding ships whose crews speak only Arabic. An Iraqi patrol boat, belching soot and sporting patches of rust, heads out to the offshore oil platforms. The crew will be checked out on their ability to intercept boats trying to penetrate the security zone surrounding the oil terminals. Major David Spink of the British Royal Marines is running the test called Sector Guardian.
So I'm looking at everything top to bottom in terms of how these guys perform. And at the end of it, I'll say you're either good enough or you're not to come out here and do it for real. That's Sector Guardian, in a nutshell, okay?
First, an oil drum is dropped overboard for target practice. Until today, there's only been enough ammunition to fire single rounds from machine guns during practice. Now, British gunner Adrian Walker is trying to make the gunners cut loose.
Considering it's the first time we burst fire.
Burst fire,
which means 6 to 8 round burst. That's what we're trying to achieve with them.
But it's hard to break old habits. Finally, the message to fire faster gets through. After the firing exercise, a small open British boat, acting as an intruder, speeds toward the oil platform and the Iraqi patrol boat. Captain Salam Abed, at the helm and on the radio, attempts to intercept it. The speedboat ducks behind the patrol boat and tears away.
Tech boat just did a little flanking movement, got past them.
An officer, you are inside the 3,000 round over, turn away immediately. I will be first defensive action. Flare!
The boat continues to ignore flares and warning shots, and Captain Abed escalates force.
Destructive fire.
Meaning deadly force, the gunner on the 50 caliber bow gun simulates the bucking action of the gun. But suddenly, the Iraqi patrol boat's engine overheats and has to abandon pursuit.
Try and lower the temperature.
Too high?
Have you had that problem on the way out already?
The engines are quickly cut. Even though these boats are only a few years old, they weren't designed for warm waters, so they overheat quickly. Later, after we've landed on the bullet-riddled Khor Alamayel platform and sit down facing Iran, just 3 miles away, Spink explains why he passed Captain Abed, even though the attack boat got past him a couple of times.
The ones who fail, more often than not, simply go through the responses in a mechanical fashion without really paying any attention to the realities of that specific situation. The guys today were spatially aware. They did have reasonable command and control understanding of what was going on.
Spink says right now they're taking baby steps training the Iraqi Navy, but it has to be done well, as past attacks demonstrate. In 2004, Al-Qaeda went after the platforms and failed, but killed 3 U.S. sailors in the attempt. And a year ago, 15 British sailors were seized by Iranian Revolutionary Guards near here. The Royal Navy's Captain Guy Robinson, who lives on the platform, gazes out at an endless row of fishing dhows about a mile away.
And indeed, any one of these vessels that operate around could ultimately be hiding a terrorist attack.
That's why there are several coalition battleships and Coast Guard cutters constantly prowling these waters. Robinson says they hope to turn these duties over to the Iraqi Navy by 2010. But given its present condition, that seems very optimistic. John McChesney, NPR News.